Luke chapter 6. And aren't you glad that as a Christian, as a believer in Christ Jesus, we don't have to stay how we are? Amen? When we're hooked up with God, we're always growing, we're always moving, we're always progressing. And my heart's desire for you today is that you would begin to experience a deeper life. Amen? You can go deeper in God than you've ever been before. And you'll never reach the bottom because He is unfathomable. And if we look here in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, we're going to begin with verse 46. And he says, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" You know, how many know that if we call Jesus Lord, we have a responsibility, don't we? When we're calling him Lord, we're giving him permission to lead, guide, and direct our lives. And that involves doing what he says. And he goes on to say, "Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings." Notice, whoever what? Comes. That says action on your part, right? You've got to come to him and hear his sayings and do them. So we have coming, hearing, and doing. "I will show you to whom he is like." Okay, what is a man like that comes to the Lord, that hears his sayings, and does what he says? Notice he says, "He is like a man which built a house." And he what? He digged deep. Say, I'm ready to experience a deeper life. I want you to get out your spiritual shovels, because today I'm going to take you deeper. Amen. I'm going to show you how to have a more deeper, a more richer, and a more fulfilling relationship with God. Because the more you get in God, the better it gets. Amen? And he goes on to say, so he dug deep. He laid the foundation on the rock. You have to dig deep to find a good foundation. And when the flood arose, notice it didn't say if. It said when. Floods are going to come to your life at some point or another. And the only thing that's going to keep you from being washed away from the flood is having dug deep and laid your life on a rock. The rock of our salvation is Jesus Christ. Okay? When the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently or strongly upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon the rock. Say, I'm not going to be shaken. Hallelujah. But he that hears and does not is like a man that without a foundation. Someone who hears and doesn't do, you haven't dug deep enough. You haven't gone deep as you should. And you haven't hit the foundation. You haven't hit something solid, something that you can build upon. Built a house upon the earth. Notice they built it upon the earth, not the rock. The earth represents the things of the world. Against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. You know, the word deep, it means bottomless. It means unfathomable. It means profound. You know, anybody ever had a deep thought, a profound thought? It means hidden, secret, mysterious. It means multi-layered. Ever eat an onion? An onion has lots of layers, all right? But, you know, every believer can go deeper. And I want to just encourage you today to go deeper in your relationship with God. We're going to cover some basic things that will help you do this. You know, God is deep. The Bible says, deep calls unto deep. And it's the Holy Spirit. He is the one who searches the deep things of God, and he gives you the revelation of what he finds. You know, the Holy Spirit will share his research with you so that you can benefit from his research. You don't have to search the deep things of God, because with the Holy Spirit's help, he'll help you. He'll show you the deep things. Amen? He'll help you peel every layer of the onion. You know, the earth's richest materials and minerals, where are they? Are they laying on the surface, easy to find? No, you've got to dig. You've got to drill. You've got to get beyond the surface. You've got to go deep, right? If you want the best things, the most valuable things, you've got to dig. They're found deep. Hallelujah. Now, the key to having a deeper life is to be intimate with God. Now, men, I know that you are macho, strong men, and you don't have to fear the word intimate. And every man said amen. This is for both men and women. Don't be afraid of that word intimate. Jesus, who is the ultimate man's man, he had the most intimate relationship with his Father. Him and his Father were so close that if you saw Jesus, you saw the Father. Jesus wasn't afraid of intimacy. He wasn't afraid to go deeper. He wasn't afraid to develop that relationship with his Father. He developed his relationship so well that he said, the things I do, I only please the Father. Everything that Jesus did, everything that Jesus said was to please the Father. And how many know that he pleased God? Amen? You know, Enoch was another guy. The Bible said he walked with God. And his testimony was that he pleased God. He lived for 365 years, and all of a sudden, one day, he went from here into there, into the heavenly realm. He left this earth realm, and he went into heaven with one step. Why? Because he understood the truth about going deeper. Amen? So I want to take you deeper today. I want you to experience the deeper life. Go with me to Psalm 36. Psalm 36. Here is a little psalm with 12 verses, but it really says some things about how deep God is. It says, "The transgression of the wicked says within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flatters himself in his own eyes until his iniquity is found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He has left off to be wise and to do good. He devises mischief upon his bed, and he sets himself in a way that is not good and abhors evil." Now notice, "Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Thy faithfulness reaches unto the clouds." Is that deep? That God's love and faithfulness and mercy reach to the clouds. "Your righteousness is like a great mountain." Do you know a great mountain to be small? "Your judgments are great deep. O Lord, you preserve man and beast. How excellent is your loving kindness." You'll never find better love than God's love for you. Amen. "O God, therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings." "They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of your house." Fatness is riches. "You shall make them drink of the river of your pleasure." Do you think a river of pleasure is a small trickling little stream? God is so good. "For with you is the fountain of life. You know, Ponce de Leon was looking for the fountain of life, right? But we found it in Jesus Christ. You don't have to look any further. For with you there is a fountain of life. In your light shall we see light. Oh, continue your loving kindness unto them that know you, and your righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me. Let not the hand of the wicked remove me. There are the workers of iniquity fallen. They are cast down and shall not be able to rise. So the first key in experiencing a deeper life is you have to be able to pursue. You know, you may have grown up watching the Dukes of Hazzard. And there was a sheriff in the Dukes of Hazzard named Roscoe P. Coltrane. And he was always in what? Hot pursuit of the Duke boys, right? He always was trying to stop the Duke boys. And he'd go, coo, 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 I'm Roscoe P. Coltrane. I'm in hot pursuit. And he said, this is my dog, Flash. See, some of you remember that show. Well, I want you to go to Psalm 42. Psalm 42. Here is a beautiful picture of what it means to pursue. If you want to have an intimate relationship with God, if you want to have a deeper life, you're going to have to be in pursuit. Pursuit is proof of your commitment. How many people that we have are married today? Let me ask you, married couples, was there any pursuit involved in your relationship? Huh? Guys, did we have to pursue them? Come on, man. Yes, we did, didn't we? But wasn't the prize worthy of the pursuit? Didn't you get a reward? That was a good place to say amen, man. I don't want to get you in hot water. Notice what he said in Psalm 42. As the heart pants after water. Anybody ever been thirsty? So panteth my soul after God. He equates going after God as a thirst. So the first step in becoming intimate with God is you have to pursue. Like the deer pants after the water. Notice verse 2. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Why? Because there's a lot of people worshiping dead things. You got to search for the living God. When shall I come and appear before you, God? Notice he is looking for opportunities to come and appear before God. He is pursuing. He's in hot pursuit of a love relationship with God. You know, pursuit means to go after. Pursuit means to chase. And if you want a deeper, if you want to experience a deeper life, you've got to be in pursuit of God. Well, how come God doesn't chase me? He did. Who do you think made the first move? God came out of heaven, didn't he? He came to this earth. He got back what was lost. So now we have to pursue him. Amen? You've got to say, I'm a pursuer. And you can pursue God as fast as you want because there's no speed limit. Amen? The question is, how much of God do you want in your life? I'm going to get a little bit ahead of myself. But in Ezekiel 47, the prophet was taken out and he saw a stream coming from the throne room. And the angel measured and 1,000 meters or whatever. And so he went, but the water was just up to his ankles. You know, a lot of people are just happy with just getting their feet wet. Amen? They're just happy. But you know what? There's more. Then the angel measured, and it was up to his knees. Now, some people, they don't know how to swim, so they're comfortable just getting their water up to their knees. They're comfortable just sitting their legs in the water. But then he measured out some more. And he went a little bit further, and now it was up to his waist. Now people are getting nervous. I don't know how to swim, and this water's getting deep. How deep do you want to go in God? How much of God do you want in your life? How far will you go to get God's best? Then he measured out some more, and it was a river. It was over his head. It was a place where you got to tread water, where you got to swim, where you could dive into and you won't hit your head. It was deep. So the question is, how deep do you want to go with God? There are some people who are willing to go deeper than others. And that's okay. But you know what? Why settle for less when you can have more? Don't settle for less. I want you to develop an intimate relationship with God. That's how you're going to go deeper. Verse 3, my tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is your God? People were questioning, where is his God? But yet he was pursuing him. How many know that there's going to be people in the world that don't believe in God? You know, it amazes me how atheists spend so much time and energy to prove that something doesn't exist. I mean, really? You go through all that time and energy to prove that there's nothing? How stupid is that? Anyway, that's beside the point. Verse 4, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise and with a multitude that kept the holy day. How many know that church is a good place to experience God? If you want to go deeper in God, you're going to have to pursue church. Now, you know, I'm talking to people that are here, so I don't have to say anything about that. Amen? But listen, you can't deny the importance of church. All the epistles, who were they written to? They were written to churches. Who's the head of the church? Who bought and paid for the church with his blood? Well, that seems to me that just those things there alone say the importance of church. Say, church is important. And you know what? You're going to have to decide if ankle deep, knee deep, or waist deep is sufficient for you. With me, it's not. I want to be treading water. I want to be so deep in God that Jesus said, if you lose your life for me, you'll find it. Amen? So we got to pursue. You don't have to turn there, but Psalm 145:18 says, the Lord is near to all who call upon him. Do you realize that the Lord is a phone call away? You got a hotline. What's the number for that hotline? J-E-S-U-S. Five numbers that you can access that hotline anytime, anywhere, any place. 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Amen? Who's the Lord near to? Those who call. So if you want God to act on your behalf, you've got to call. Deuteronomy 4:7, don't have to turn there, but just you can write it down. God is near to those who pray to him. We got to pray. Amen? Secondly, if you want a deeper, more intimate relationship with God, you're going to have to be a seeker. You're going to have to seek God. You're going to have to look for and actively search for him. Anybody ever lose their keys? How did you search for those keys? You went through every room. You might have been even throwing things, right? I got to find my keys. You were frantic. Why? Because those keys were important. You needed those keys to go wherever it is that you were going. Amen? Well, we ought to search for God just as much, if not more. Amen? Isaiah 55:6. Let's go over there. Isaiah 55:6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So what does that tell me? Seek the Lord while he may be found. You know, there was a time in Israel when they were in a battle, but the Israelites turned their hearts against God. You know what happened? God began to fight against them. So if you want more of God, you're going to have to make room for him in your life. There might be some things that you have to get rid of. There might be some things that you have to stop doing in order for God to work fully in that area of your life. Seek him while he may be found. You know, well, I thought the Lord is everywhere. Yes, he is everywhere, but he's not manifested everywhere. If you want the manifestation of his presence in your now, then you've got to seek him. What does Matthew 7 tell us? When we seek God, what's going to happen? We will find him. Is it that simple that all I got to do is seek God and I'll find him? Yes. Say, it's that simple. But it's important. Psalm 27, 8 says, seek his face. You know, if you're seeking someone's face, you're not looking through binoculars. Right? If you're seeking someone's face, you've got to move to where they are. You know, God wants to look into your eyes. And he wants you to look into his eyes. We can actually look on God's face. Did you know that Moses, he talked with man, or he talked with God like a man talks with his friend? They spoke face to face. Because why? Moses sought God. Go with me to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus 33. These are all levels of intimacy. They will help you to develop a deeper relationship with God. And notice, these are all action words. Did you notice that? Because faith is an action. Faith without works is what? Dead. Say, I don't have dead faith. So in Exodus 33, we see here in verse 7, Moses took the tabernacle. Now that word tabernacle means tent of meeting. So he took the tent of meeting and pitched it without the camp. That means outside the camp. All right? Afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which what? Sought the Lord, went out to the tabernacle of the congregation. You mean I got to go to the tent if I want to talk to God? In that particular instance, yes. Why? You mean I got to come to the altar to get touched by God? Yes. Every time God wants to do something in your life, it's going to require movement on your part. God doesn't change, so God doesn't have to move. But if we want what he has, we got to go where he is, especially where he's manifesting himself. So Moses, they had to go outside the camp if they wanted to seek God. And it came to pass when Moses went out into the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. But I want you to notice that Moses had to take this tent, he had to set it outside the camp, he had to set it up, he had a special place where he met with God. Amen? Now, we don't live in tents anymore. But you can have a special place where you are that you can meet with God. It can be a room. It could be a chair. If you're driving a long distance, it could be your car. I'll tell you what, there were many times where I would drive from Illinois to Tulsa, or Tulsa to Illinois, or Illinois to Tennessee, or Tennessee to Tulsa, and I had good times with the Lord. I mean, there were times when His presence would just come in where I was. I'd be worshiping, I'd be praising Him, and man, I feel good. When you're in God's presence, there's nothing like it on this earth. God's presence is the most awesome place to be. If you've just, if you had one taste of the Lord, you know He's good. And if one tastes good, guess what? Another tastes good, and another tastes good. The Lord never loses or decreases in His goodness. You cannot overdose on Jesus. That's why there's no high like the Most High. God is good, and He wants you to experience His goodness in your life. He wants you to experience His blessings. He moved heaven and earth so that He could have a relationship with you. But it's up to us to go deeper. And the people saw the cloud, verse 10, stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose and worshiped, every man at his tent door. And the Lord spoke with Moses face to face, as a man speaks unto his friend. And one of these messages this month, I'm going to talk about how to be a friend of God. But I'm saving that. I'm just going to whet your appetite a little bit. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Boy, I tell you what, Joshua was a God's presence addict. He thought God's presence was so awesome and so marvelous. Even when Moses finished talking with God, Joshua hung around the presence. He hung around the tabernacle. Why? Because he wanted what Moses had. Joshua wanted an intimate relationship with God. And I'll tell you what, if it wasn't for Joshua going deeper with God, he probably would have never been the leader. Because he was willing to go deeper with God, he served Moses happily. Because he knew that in service, he wasn't serving Moses, he knew that ultimately Joshua was serving the Lord. And because of Joshua's pursuit of God's presence, you don't think that this pursuit had anything to do with how the results occurred in his life? Listen, if you want to do great things for God, you're going to have to spend great time with God. But if you just want to do little things for God, you can spend a little time with God. You can get a trickle, and it will satisfy your thirst, but I'd rather be by the spot where the glory comes out. You know, When I played football for 1 year, my freshman year in high school. And before school started, we had double practices. Because school hadn't started yet, so we'd practice twice a day. And we did a lot of running. Because the coach had to condition us for the game. And it would be so hot in August that once you had a break where you could get some water, you know what we would do? We just didn't want a trickle of water. We'd plug up our helmet with our finger. We'd fill up our helmets and dump the water on us. You can have a trickle, yes, but you can have a whole lot more with God. How far are you willing to go? How deep do you want to go? Listen, when you're drilling for oil, you don't stop until you hit a gusher. Amen? They drill until they hit a gusher, until the black gold, the Texas tea, right? Like Jed Clampett. I don't know why all these things are coming today. I didn't have them in my notes. But we got to seek God. Closeness and intimacy. Flourish in the right environment. Why don't you invite your friends on your honeymoon? Because you want to develop intimacy. Amen? It flourishes in the right environment. You don't even tell some of your friends where you're going on your honeymoon because you got some tricksters that'll play tricks on you, right? Why? Because that is a special private time where a man and a woman can develop their relationship. They can become intimate. Intimacy is reserved for one-on-one. You can get one-on-one with God. You can go deeper with God. You can become intimate with God, and you will experience a deeper life. But you got to seek him. Number three, you've got to draw near. Now, he's not talking about doing art. He's talking about moving from where you are to where he is. You know, God's first instruction to Abraham was to move. God couldn't do what he wanted to do in Abraham where he was. So God's instruction was move. And guess what? When Abraham moved, what was the first thing he did? He built an altar to the Lord. Everywhere he moved with God. He went where God told him to go, and where he ended up, he would honor God where he was. He built an altar. When he would travel from place to place, Abraham built an altar. An altar is a place of worship. That tells me that Abraham was intimate with God. He drew near to God. You've got to move closer to God today than you were yesterday. The closer you are to him, the more Christ-like you'll become. Now, before a person gets born again, it's like God is so far away. But then he calls you. You hear his voice, and he calls you to himself, and you experience his love. You experience his goodness. You experience salvation, and you come to Jesus. But you know what? There's more. Then you can get filled with the Holy Spirit. Then you can get to know God. You can start to study the Word. Amen? You can be a workman who needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. If you're not intimate with God, you're going to wrongly divide the Word. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. There's more in God than what you have right now. There's more of God. There's more blessings. There's more joy. There's more peace. There's more goodness. There's more favor. Amen? Just because God was favorable to you yesterday doesn't mean he can't be more favorable to you today. Hebrews 10, 22. Let us... I love how God is all-inclusive. Let us means anybody who wants to. He is speaking to all of us today. Let us draw near. How? With a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. By the way, an evil conscience will separate you from God. When Adam and Eve sinned, how was their relationship with God affected? They hid from God instead of walk with God. Sin will separate you from God. Sin will distance you from God. Sin will put a wedge between you and God. But you can cleanse your conscience by trusting in Jesus. Sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast. Go to James 4:8. James is in the neighborhood right here next to Hebrews. What does he tell us? Verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God and what? Listen, if you want to get closer to God, you're going to have to resist the devil. Submit yourselves to God. That means you come under his mission for your life. Amen? And what happens when you resist the devil? Isn't that good news? When you put up resistance, the enemy will flee. Look at verse, but you can't do that on your own. You've got to do that with Christ, in Christ, through Christ. Verse 8, draw near to God and what? You mean God is waiting on me? Yes. There's things that God wants to activate in your life, but he's waiting on you to draw near. He's waiting on you to come to him. He's waiting on you to come into his presence, to get the strength, the direction. You know what? Moses pastored the largest church ever, 2 to 3 million people. And he had to go to God every day. He had to talk with God every day. The more the more you have, the more you've been given, the more is required of you. Well, then I don't want to have more. Why? Don't be afraid of commitment. Don't be afraid of responsibility. Embrace it. God wants you to have more. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You're going to have to give up an opinion if you want to get closer to God. You can't come to God with two opinions. You can't come to God with what he says versus what you feel. God, I feel this, but your word says this. You're going to have to pick one. Amen? Because a double-minded man doesn't receive anything from God. Now, if you go with your feelings, they will soon change. But if you go with God's word will never change, but it will cause change in your circumstances. But you got to draw near. You got to draw near. You got to make the effort to come close to God. Malachi 3:7 says, return to God and he will return to you. You know, there's a beautiful picture in the Bible of a person who drew near to God. Her name was Mary. Mary had a sister named Martha and a brother named Lazarus. And Jesus had a good relationship with this family. Apparently, he would stay at their house whenever he went to this area. Bethany, I believe it was. And one day, Martha was preparing a party because Jesus, you know, whenever Jesus came to your house, he never traveled alone. He always brought people with him. Amen. And so Martha was getting things busy. She was getting things ready because she knew that the people were going to be hungry and she had to get the house ready. She had to cook the food. But you know what Mary did? Mary decided that she was going to draw near in the midst of activity. And what was Mary doing? Mary was sitting. Where was she sitting? At his feet. What was she doing? She was just listening to his teaching. She was listening to him talk. She was watching him. What was she doing? She was drawing near. And it turns out that she chose the better part. When God is calling you close, you better answer. There are times when you will be in the midst of activity. You will be in the midst of busyness. Zechariah, what was he doing? He was lighting incense. He was fulfilling his priestly duty, and all of a sudden an angel showed up at work. How would you explain your boss to that? Zechariah, what's taking you so long? I'm sorry, I have an appointment with an angel here. Listen, when God calls you, you've got to answer in that moment to come close to him. Why? Because he wants to give you something. He wants to show you something. He may want to protect you from something. And you've got to take your time. You've got to stop what you're doing and get involved with what he's doing. That's what Mary did. Sit at his feet. Jesus himself said that she chose the better part. Which part will you choose today? Will you choose the busyness or will you choose him? You know, when Jesus walked by the sea, there were fishermen who were, they had just got done fishing. Why? They were washing their nets. They'd been out on the water. I don't know if they caught anything or not, but they were washing their nets. They were getting ready to the end of the day. And Jesus walked by and said, two words, follow me. What did they do? They dropped what they were doing and they started following him. That's what you call draw near. Jesus didn't tell them where they were going. He didn't tell them where they were going to end up. But he said, I'll make you fishers of men. And they dropped what they were doing and they started doing what he was doing. That's what it means to draw near. There are times in life where you're going to have to lay aside your life. You're going to have to lay down your life and you're going to have to come close to him. Because otherwise you'll miss what he's saying. There are times when I can't just study for a sermon. You know, as a preacher, you get in the habit of studying for sermons. I can't just study for sermons. I've got to read to build myself up. I've got to read just for fun. Just for self-edification. I can't just always be studying for sermons. I got to take time out, and I've got to hear from God for my own life. I got to hear from God for me, as well as this congregation. Because I certainly couldn't do this alone. And there are times in your life where you're going to have to draw near. Notice he draws you. You know, God is not a dictator. He's not going to say, I want you to be here at 10 o'clock. You know what he does? He says, I'll be here at 10. And he allows you to choose whether or not you're going to show up then. He won't tell you what he has for you until you're there. Why? Because he's all about the relationship. He's not about the formality. The Pharisees were formal, but they were wicked serpents. They were of their father, the devil. You know, the Pharisees didn't stop what they were doing to get involved with what he was doing. So you got to draw near. Number four, is this good? Are you going deeper? You know, fourthly, you've got to come to him. When you're thirsty, you've got to come to him. Go with me to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. You know, when I was thinking about going deeper, if you're a driller, you got to go deeper. If you're a fisherman in the ocean, you're going to have to go deeper. You don't catch the big fish in the 5 foot of water. If you're going to build a building, you're going to have to go deep. If you're a miner, you're going to have to go deep. Whether you're mining for coal, gold, silver, or whatever, you're going to have to go deep. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Notice what Jesus says. Come unto me. Does that sound? It's an invitation to everybody who will listen. Everybody who has a heart for God, God wants you to come closer. He wants you to come deeper. He wants you to go higher. He wants you to go further. Come unto me, all that labor. Do we have any laborers here? That means you work, right? And are heavy laden with burdens. If you're a laborer and you're heavy laden with a burden, you got a burden that's wearing you down. It's heavy. It's hard to hold. You don't know if you can carry it. It's too much for you. You're supposed to come to him. You're not supposed to talk about how big your burden is. You're not supposed to talk about how heavy it is. You're supposed to come to him. And what's going to happen? And I will give you rest. The only way to get relief from that burden is for you to come to him. You're not going to loose that burden carrying it around yourself. You weren't designed to carry it around. It'll wear you out. Carrying a burden has to do with worrying. It has to do with anxiety, with being anxious. When you worry, you are carrying a burden. You are wondering, what if, what if, what if? And that's a question that you can't answer. You're supposed to come to him. And you're supposed to cast your cares unto him. Why? Because he cares for you. He cares for you. He doesn't want you to be burdened. He said, when you come to me, I'll give you rest. But you got to come to him. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. How do you learn of him? You got to come and hear his teaching. You got to hear his voice. You got to get into his word. I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your souls. Rest is waiting for those who come to him. If you need rest today, the rest giver is here. The Prince of Peace is here, and you've got to come to him and release your burden. The only way that you release that burden is if you come. Otherwise, you're stuck carrying it out, and you'll be wore out. The devil will make sure that he straps such a heavy load on you that you can't do what you're supposed to do. The devil will get you so busy, he'll get you so worked up with the cares of the world and lust of other things and deceitfulness of riches, and he'll just choke that word in you. And all you've got to do to relieve that is to come to him. And you'll get deeper. you'll find rest. You know, when Josiah wakes up in the morning, I'm usually the one that, when he finally wants to get up. Now, in the middle of the night, I can't really help him. I can only get him and bring him to Fiona. But when he wakes up and I hear him, I go into his room. You know what he does? He stands up. And he puts his arms up to me. That's a signal to me that he wants to come to me. And you know what I do? I put my hands down to him and I pick him up. And him and I, we have a routine. I take him out into the living room. He sits on my lap on the couch. And sometimes, most of the time, he'll fall asleep on my lap or whatever. Other times, I'll feed him, you know. I'll say, you want some food? He'll go, ooh! He gets all excited. But you know what? You need to come to God with childlike faith. As a little child. There are times when you need to lift your arms up to God. And you need to signal to God that you want to be with him just because you love him. Daddy, pick me up. I love you. We need to come to God like a little child. That's what it means to come to him. You've got to make the Lord your refuge. The Bible says that the Lord is a strong tower. Those that run to him find safety. What about the ones that don't run to him? They're going to find trouble. The only safe place is when you come into his presence. And you know, you can get into his presence. You don't have to be in church to get into his presence. But you know what? Being in church prepares you how to work in his presence. My job is not only to feed the sheep, but it's also to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. For some people, 52 services a year is enough. They're 52 Sundays, right? For other people, they need 104 Wednesdays and Sundays. And then if you add in special services like Barnabas for the men and Woven for the women, that's an extra 10 or 12. Maybe you get enough of God just coming every so often. But you know what? A lot of us wouldn't be happy in the early church because they met every day. In Acts, they met what? Daily. Do you mean that church was the center of their life? And listen, I'm not saying that to condemn anybody. I'm saying that there is more that God wants you to have. I'm saying that God serves up a meal of his word, a fresh manna from heaven. And that might be the very thing that you need where you are right now. So I say, I'm going to keep ringing the dinner bell, and I'm going to say, come and get it. Amen? And everyone that shows up, I'm going to feed them good. I'm going to make sure that you have your spiritual broccoli and spinach, along with some sweet dessert, because the word is sweet. Amen? Sweet as honey. When Jesus was on, in John 7:37, the last day of the feast, he said, everyone who thirsts, come to me and drink, and out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. If you want rivers of living water flowing out of you, you've got to come and drink. Notice it didn't say sit and drink. It said come and drink. What does it mean to come? Whenever there's a call for God to do something, and that applies to you, and that's something that you want, come. Amen? You know, God will just say, I'm going to use Nelson as an example. God will call up Nelson and say, hey, Nelson, let's just hang out today. You know? And God will just hang out with him because Nelson will make himself available. And Nelson will come back and he'll say, man, oh, the day that I had, I hung out with God today. You know, when you hang out with God, it changes you. I mean, God is cool. God is fun. You know, God is loving. God is accepting. He accepts you for who you are. And there are times when he just wants to hang out with you because he loves you. Just like any other friend or any other person who loves you, they just like being in your presence. They like listening to your voice. And God loves hanging out with you. We just got to take some time to hang out with God. you want the living water, you've got to come and drink. The next level is you've got to start to share everything. People who are close, they don't hold things from one another. You have to share your feelings. Yes, we all have feelings. And God's not nervous about your feelings. God gave you those feelings. You can share your feelings. You ever read Psalms? How David would say, God, these people want to kill me. They want to see my death down to the soul or whatever. I'm just paraphrasing. But David would just share his feelings. How about Moses and God? Moses, God would say, Moses, get out of the way. God was ticked off. He was angry. He said, get out of the way, Moses. I'm going to wipe these people out. And Moses would say, well, God, do you want to be responsible for their death? I'm paraphrasing, but, you know, there were times when God was ticked off. And he told Moses, he said, get out of the way. I want to wipe them out. And Moses would stand in the way. You know what? You need some people to stand in your way. You need some intercessors. So don't be afraid to share your feelings. Share them, don't dwell on them. Amen? Share your feelings, emotions, your dreams, your thoughts, your cares, and your concerns. God can do something about every one of them. God can bring your dreams to pass. God will give you the desires of your heart. But you share them with him. The closer you are, the more you share. You know, John 15:15. Jesus shared with his disciples what the Father was telling him. Those who he was close to. Now, there were three disciples, Peter, James, and John. They owned a fishing company together. They were partners in a fishing business. James and John were the sons of Zebedee, and Peter, whose brother led him to the Lord, Andrew. They got to go where the other disciples didn't get to go. They got to see things. They got to hear things that the other disciples didn't get to hear. It was Peter, James, and John who accompanied Jesus to Jairus' house. What happened at Jairus' house? Jairus' daughter was near death, and he came to Jesus. He said, come and lay your hands on her, and she shall be whole. So Jesus went, but he only took Peter, James, and John. They got to experience the raising of Jairus' daughter when the other disciples didn't. Why? Because they were the ones willing to pursue. They were the ones willing to go deeper. You could be just like Peter, James. You know, when Jesus walked on the water and Peter said, Lord, if that's you, bid me come. He didn't say, come, Peter, did he? He said, come. That was an invitation to anybody in that boat. But who was the only one that stepped out? Peter. Peter stepped out. He was willing to go deeper. And when Jesus was praying on the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John were there. They got to see Jesus in all of his glory and all of his original glory and his original splendor. And right before their eyes, he was transformed. They saw the light. They saw his glow. They were taken back. They stood in awe. And Moses and Elijah was there with Jesus, and they were having a conversation. And Peter said, let's set up three tents. This is good for us. But, you know, God doesn't want you to dwell on your encounters. He just wants you to experience your encounters, but take what you learn from that encounter and go for the next one. And then, who was it that Jesus, before he was betrayed, he took Peter, James, and John in Gethsemane, and he asked them if they could pray for an hour. But they couldn't. They kept falling asleep. Jesus prayed three times. And each time, Peter, James, and John, they were sleeping on the job. But they still got to go and experience that with Jesus. Can you be like Peter, James, and John? Are you going to accept what God has for you? Are you going to come closer to him? Are you going to draw near? Are you going to seek him? Are you going to pursue him? And finally, you've got to come close. Come close. Jesus invites those who have a heart after God to have a closer walk with him. I don't care if you've been a believer for 40 years. There's still, you can still get closer than what you are now. Amen? There's still more of God that you can experience and that you can have and that you can walk in. And so Jesus is inviting us all to come to him. Come close. When you want to tell someone's their secret, what you don't say, "Hey, everybody, I got a secret." What do you do? Say, "Hey, come here. I want to tell you something." You whisper and you invite them into a more intimate atmosphere where you can share the secret with them. That's what God wants to do. When he invites you to come close, he wants to share his secrets with you. Go to John chapter 1, and I'm getting ready to close. John chapter 1. And verse 38. Well, let's look at verse 37. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed him. Isn't that amazing? They heard him speak, and they followed him. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and said unto them, "What do you seek?" Remember, we're supposed to be seekers. They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where do you dwell?" He said unto them, "Come and see." See, if you want further information, you're going to have to come closer to the Lord than where you are right now. If you want what God is offering, you're going to have to get up from where you are, and you're going to have to come and get it. God offers a buffet line. In a buffet, people don't serve you unless it's their drinks. But for the most part, all they do is fill your drinks. They don't bring your food. When you go to a buffet, you've got to get your own plate. You've got to go and get your own food, and you've got to bring it back to your table. And when you're done, you've got to get another plate, and hopefully you'll stop right there. But see, God offers a buffet. He has things already ready, already prepared, and it's a smorgasbord. And you can have what you want. You can have what you need. If you need peace, you can have it. If you need joy, you can have it. If you need help, you can have it. It's already here. It's already prepared, but you've got to come and get it. You've got to come close to God. Jesus just said, they said, "Where do you dwell?" Said, "Come and see." What kind of answer is that? If they wanted to see where he dwelt, they had to come. Right? They had to follow him. Well, where are you going? Just follow me. Now we're talking about trust. See, only those who trust God with all their heart are going to go deeper. If there's an area that you're trusting yourself in, if you're trusting yourself, then God can't help you. You can't do it on your own. God doesn't expect you to. He made the church like a family and a body. When one member of the body hurts, the whole body hurts. But he also made the church like a family that when one needs help, the others can come and help. Amen? And then finally, Hebrews 4:16. If you want to obtain mercy and find grace, you've got to come to his throne. You know when the Bible says about Mary, she found favor in God? That's because she was going before his throne. Because that's the place where you find favor. You got to go before his throne. Come boldly. Come boldly. Boldly means with confidence. Who do you put your confidence in? You put your confidence in what Jesus has done. You're coming to God based on what Jesus has done. Because what Jesus has done, he gives you right to come before God. If it wasn't for Jesus, we couldn't come before God. But Jesus came. He lived. He died. He resurrected. So now we can come before God. We can come before his throne. whenever you need to. Come boldly. You know, if you look in Exodus 24, God invited Moses up the mountain. Now, this mountain was covered in smoke and fire and thunder and lightning. And God called Moses to come up into the smoke. Now, the elders and Aaron, they weren't invited into the smoke. They had to worship from a distance. Because Moses practiced seeking God. And Moses went up into the smoke. And when he went up, they said, "Holy smoke." I just had to make sure that you're awake. And Moses spent 40 days up on that mountain. And for the first 6 days, God didn't even speak to him. God didn't speak to him on the seventh day. Some of you have only spent 6 days, but your seventh day is coming. If you just hang in there for the seventh day, stay one more day longer, stay one moment longer, one opportunity more. But on the seventh day, God began to speak to Moses. What did he say? He gave him commands to give to the people. But if Moses didn't come close, everybody else was afraid of the smoke and the fire and the lightning and the thunder. But Moses wasn't. Because Moses, it reminded him of the bush that was on fire in the wilderness. He was comfortable in God's presence. And Moses went up there. And he talked with God. I believe that God took him to heaven. I believe that God showed Moses the real tabernacle. Where else would you get the plans if you didn't see the original? I believe because Moses, he came close. He answered the call. God said, "Come," and Moses said, "I'll come." When God spoke, the prophet said, "Here am I, send me. Here am I, use me." We need to answer God's call. God's calling you into a closer, more intimate relationship with him. He's calling you into a greater zeal and a greater fire. God is calling you. Will you answer? And will you come? Will you be bold enough to come into his presence? Will you receive what the Lord has for you? His love can be overwhelming. His peace passes understanding. His joy is unspeakable and full of glory. His righteousness is forever and ever. His name is holy. And each one of us have the opportunity we can pursue, we can seek, we can draw near, we can come close. Will you go deeper with God today? Will you come deeper today? Will you experience his deeper life today? Because you can. So there's the invitation. So what are you going to do about it? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you so much. I thank you, Father, for the great plans that you have for us. Plans to prosper us and not to harm us. Father, you're calling us into a greater level of commitment. You're calling us into greater responsibility. You're calling us into a deeper relationship with you. And I say, here I am, Father. I'm coming to you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength. If you want to experience a deeper life with God right now, I want you, if you can, stand to your feet. I know that there are some that can't, and that's okay. But those who can, stand to your feet and begin to worship the Lord. Begin to call upon him. Begin to come to him with a sincere and pure heart. Never let me go. Said those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be filled. I lay it all down again. There are those, some are more hungry than others, and that's the way it is. The hungry ones, they're going to get filled. They're going to experience the goodness of the Lord. The ones that want more, there's more in God. Some are just satisfied with little.
No one else will do.
God doesn't force more on people, but He offers more. So begin to worship the Lord. Put your eyes on Him. Focus on Him. Begin to cry out to God like you're hungry, like you're desperate, like you need Him. Experience His love and His grace.
Bring me back to You.
Hallelujah, Lord, we come to You. Father, we come to You because we're hungry. We thirst after You, Lord. We come to drink in the name of Jesus. We need You, Lord. We need You working in our lives. We need You leading and guiding us in the name of Jesus. And then as an act of faith, everyone that wants to, I want you to come close to God.